Welcome back to the Business of Government Hour. I'm your host, Albert Morales, and this morning's conversation is with USAID Chief Financial Officer Lisa Feely. Also joining us in our conversation is Lori Feller. Lisa, I'd like to start with USAID's Performance and Accountability Report, or the PART. Could you talk about the process USAID uses to develop this report and what role your office plays in coordinating this report with the Department of State?
Sure. We have a separate report from Department of State. We are not, our information is not in their PAR report, but we try to very closely mirror it in cosmetically. We try to mirror it very, very closely. Also, we are looking off of the same strategic plan. There is a joint USAID state strategic plan right now, which we are using in developing the performance metrics that are reported in our PAR. Primarily, the CFO is giving a lot of input and all of the financial input to the Performance and Accountability Report, which I'm very proud of ours. In fact, it was just this week that we've run out of them. They're a hot item, and so they took mine because they had to give it to someone. But it has a lot of information. I mean, anybody who doesn't know anything about the agency could read it as a textbook and get a real flavor for the types of programs that we have, our financial results, and the performance metrics that are in there. I'm very proud of it. I think it's an excellent report, and we've gotten very, very high grades on it from the groups that look at it, the SEER program that ranks performance and accountability reports, and the Mercatus folks that look at performance and accountability reports. So we put it together. I mean, it's a difficult process. It's very tedious. There's a lot of data in there, but there's also a lot of very easy to read information just to give you a thought for what our agency does. And our theme in 2005 was sort of the silent tsunami. I mean, we deal all the time in the forefront of situations like the earthquake in Pakistan, or we were right there leading the efforts when the tsunami hit. But, you know, when I say silent tsunami, I mean, there's constantly poverty and instability and illiteracy, sort of the silent programs that we're there for all the time that doesn't get that publicity that you get when you have a disaster type of situation. And that's really the backbone of our agency. I mean, it's not just reacting. It's constantly trying to change the environment where people are living in and improve it.
Lisa, we understand that USAID has installed a new financial system called Phoenix, and that this installation has occurred in many of your overseas locations last year. Certainly, installing a financial system in one location is challenging enough, but to do that across many locations, especially some in developing countries, must be a real challenge. Can you describe that to us?
Well, you have to always be ready for the unknown. Lori knows that, having worked with us on this particular project, but you just don't know what you're going to encounter when you go overseas. One of the main warnings that we have gotten and one of our things that we're watching out for is the bandwidth and the communications issues that we have been warned about overseas. We have thus far, you know, we obviously started with the easier ones so that we could have a learning process. I mean, we started with Washington back in 2000, and then we moved to Latin America, we moved to Europe and Eurasia, Asia and Near East, and our final rollout will be in Africa this year. We'll be rolling out in March and May, and that's where we fear that we may have some issues with the connectivity. Thus far, we have been very fortunate that has worked out fine. But that's sort of the technological issue that we've encountered. It's also a lot of people issues, cultural issues, and customs that we encounter. I mean, we go to roll out in a certain country or continent, if you will, and we find out that we're smack in the middle of Ramadan or some other religious holiday. Certain customs that we've had to bump up against, where we have folks that we want to travel to be trained in certain nationalities, you cannot have the wives travel without the husbands. So we've had to sort of deal around with that. Just a myriad of things that, you know, I guess you could say what can go wrong will, but I mean, we have learned every time we have rolled out in a particular location, we have a lessons learned after we complete that rollout. We look at what went right, what went wrong, what can we do to fix what may have gone wrong. And it has worked out extremely well. I mean, I sort of try to tout this as one of the more successful systems implementation in the federal government because we've had a myriad of things that we've had to deal with, and we've dealt with them and moved on.
There must be some great stories that come out of this implementation. Is there one in particular that that you care to share with us, something sort of completely unexpected, completely unknown?
Well, you know that not really unknown, because once you get there, you sort of realize, you know, you should have known about this and where were you at. But, I mean, we've gotten to locations. I mean, we had someone in Bolivia when there was a revolt in Bolivia, and this person was one of our contractors, actually, was stuck at the airport, I believe, couldn't get into the office, couldn't get out of Bolivia. You know, we've had situations where we've arrived to do an implementation and found out it was a holiday. That wasn't the worst thing. I mean, I had a nice day of touring, but, you know, things like that, that, you know, after the first couple of rollouts, we learn fast, you know, and we don't find that situation occurring. I mean, obviously the revolt, you can't do anything
about that.
That's not in something you can anticipate. But most of the cultural things that can be anticipated now, the folks are very good about doing that.
So I want to build on the lessons learned aspect that you've mentioned a couple of times. What are some of the things that we've learned that you'd like to share with other leaders who may be designing or implementing a new financial system?
Well, you know, I guess the lessons learned is always be ready to react to things. And I guess I would say also never give up. I mean, you know, we were given some alternatives that we might want to employ, if you will, rather than go out and try to do an online real-time situation in countries where the connectivity was low. But, you know, we testing and doing things prior to going out there and going live, you cannot do enough testing and simulations. And I guess that's what I would recommend for somebody to know. And pick a system that you're capable of implementing. I mean, I've seen situations where agencies have taken on a system that with the resources they have, there was no way they were ever going to be able to implement such a complicated system, at least without scaling back some of the utilities of that system. And you just don't want to go there. Senior leadership, senior buy-in and support is key. You've got to have someone out there giving you the rah-rahs and getting the folks from the very top committed to the project, because that's the only way you're going to get people to work on the project. I mean, let's face it, everybody has a real job. I mean, when you implement a system, usually it's an extra additional thing that people are being asked to do.
It's a collateral duty.
And if you don't have someone championing that system from the very top, you're just not going to have the buy-in. Now, we were fortunate that, you know, Administrator Natsios was very, very supportive of this project. I mean, he was very supportive of all of the management projects. But even in his farewell speech, I mean, this was what he touted as one of his big successes, to be able to get this agency in a position where we are recognized as in the forefront of financial management. And that made all of us feel very good. And it was a lot of his commitment that made all of that possible.
Lisa, you also touched on being ready for the unknown and changing things. In the middle of the rollout, I understand that the hardware for the software was recently co-located with the financial system with the Department of State. Has this co-location impacted operation? Has it changed your rollout schedule? Has it really impacted what's going on?
Actually, the co-location, by and large, has not impacted our operation. I mean, obviously, we have a change in our systems architecture. We're located now down in Charleston, South Carolina, along with the State Department. And our COOP site is now with the state COOP site. This was something that was brought to the attention of the agency by OMB to try to get some economies within the federal government. And that's a good thing. We have already seen some savings based on this merging, if you will, of the systems infrastructure. And, you know, I think the fact that it hasn't impacted operations and folks aren't noticing is a good thing. I mean, a switch like that should be people should not notice it. It should happen, and it happened one weekend, and people signed on Monday, and people were none the wiser that it was located in a different place. All of our equipment is down in Charleston. We have a couple of folks in Charleston ourselves, But for the most part, it's run on the state platform, and it's working out very well.
Lisa, I would imagine that a system like this has changed financial reporting at USAID. Could you share some of the highlights of this improved reporting with our listeners and how these changes have affected decision-making at the program level?
I've got to be honest with you. Reporting has been our biggest disappointment from this system's implementation. We're not unique in the federal government. I mean, I was implementing a system over at IRS before I left there, and it went live shortly after I left. You know, we're now being mandated to go with commercial off-the-shelf products. They do not want government agencies developing their own systems. I mean, and that's a good thing. But it also sort of takes the menu of selection process, makes it much smaller. So you have a few of the major systems that you can select from. There's, I don't know, what is it now, 5, 7, something like that. And I don't believe that the software packages have really stepped up to the plate as far as delivery in the reports line. I mean, most of these off-the-shelf products come with a reporting vehicle that is satisfactory for central agency reporting. It has the bare minimum of what an agency needs to function in the federal government, but it doesn't have those extra reports for it to manage. We had a couple of different ways we went about this. We had the reports that came out of our system. Then we went to Crystal Reports, and then we went to Crystal Ad Hoc so people could have more say in what they were putting onto their reports. That failed miserably. That just did not work for us at all. And then we were down at State in Charleston, you know, on one of our meetings, preliminary meetings to moving our platform down there. And they gave us a demo of what they called our viewer. And what that essentially was sort of a reporting system that they had developed that would actually allow them to take the data, upload it every night to the web, so that their offices, their embassies, could then download the information the following day, and they could slice it and dice it the way they wanted, which is pretty much exactly what our folks wanted, sort of a data warehouse type of situation, a mini data warehouse with their own information. Once they downloaded it, they can slice it and dice it. And we borrowed that. We're now calling our version of it Aid Viewer. And it has some of its own reports that we have blessed and we have developed from a central perspective. But the missions are also, when they have ad hoc inquiries for information at a mission level, they have their data there. They're able to work their data themselves and put this in one column, that in another column, you know, what if scenarios they can do. And they're very pleased with it. But that was probably, the reporting was what we got the most complaints about, and it was our biggest headache. So you asked me earlier what I would recommend to someone implementing a system. Don't go into it thinking that the system is going to have everything you need. You know, prepare right from the get-go that you're going to have to do something about the reporting aspects of it, because I've talked to my counterparts in other government agencies, and our problem with reporting is not unique.
That's good advice. How is the agency handling accelerated financial reporting this year? We will ask USAID CFO Lisa Feely to share with us when the conversation about management continues on the Business of Government Hour.